Good morning, welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we plunge straight into the 13th parak of Sefer Shoftim. We leave behind Yiftach, we leave behind the minor Shoftim who followed him, and now we enter into the next stage. This is going to be the last stage of this sequence, which is really Shimshon, a dark and cloudy era for Israel. But this parak is dedicated to the birth of Shimshon. Very fascinating parak. This is in fact the Haftarah of Parshas Naso, which relates to the Nezirus aspects of this parak. So here we go. This is actually not so much to do with Shimshon, but rather his parents. His parents' names are Manoach and Eshes Manoach. Interestingly enough, his mother does not have a name in Tanakh explicitly. The parak starts off by saying that Israel, unfortunately, cycles trigger again. They revert back to sinning. They are sold into the hands of the Plishtim, seafaring people who land on the coast of the Gaza area, around where we have today Gaza. They take control of Israel for 40 years. That's a pretty long enslavement to another nation, pretty much longer than anything else we've seen up till now. It's within this context that this lady Eshes Manoach is barren. That means to say that the two of them cannot have children together. She's taking a walk, and suddenly an angel appears to her and the angel tells her You're barren. You don't have a child. You're going to conceive and have a child. But here's a few preconditions to this child. Number one is, be careful not to drink any alcoholic beverages. Number two, don't eat anything which is impure, because you're going to have a very special child. Don't shave his hair when he's born, and you know that he's going from the moment he's born, he's going to start saving Israel from the Philistines. Wow, what a quite an incredible prophecy. She goes straight back to her husband. She says, "This Ish Elohim, this man of God, came to me. He looked like an angel, very, very powerful, very fearsome. I didn't ask him his name. He didn't tell me what his name was. And he told me I'm going to have a child, and I should not drink wine or alcoholic beverages, and not to eat anything which is impure, because he's going to be a Nazir." So she reports the message, or at least partially. She doesn't mention all the details to her husband. And so Manoach now suddenly starts praying. It's interesting, the same lashon of praying Vayetam Manoach El Hashem. It's the same lashon of praying that Yitzhak does for praying to Hashem. But Yitzhak was praying for a child. Manoach is now praying to see who this Ish Elohim is. So he says, "Please, Hashem, send back this Malach." Interestingly enough, it sounds like he doesn't fully trust, or he wants to experience himself this angel and to tell us what to do with this child, because it sounds like she's left out what's going to be in his lifetime. She talks about the pregnancy to him, but she doesn't talk about what's going to be in his lifetime. So Hashem listens, and while his wife is in the field and her husband's not with her, the angel reappears to her. So she runs back to the house, and Manoach runs back after her. He runs after his wife, and he comes over to the angel and he says, "Are you the person, the being that appeared to my wife?" And he says, "I am." He says, "Well, tell us, what about this child?" So the angel said, "Well, everything I told your wife is what's going to be with this child. You know, she shouldn't drink any alcoholic beverages, and she shouldn't become tamei. She shouldn't eat anything impure, as I told her." So Manoach is kind of getting the same message she told. It's almost like we're belittling him here. And Manoach says, "Look, how about this? Let's make a sacrifice to you." So it sounds like he wants to know, is this a malach? Is this a prophet? He's not sure. So the angel says to him, "Don't stop. Don't stop me. I can't eat your bread. If you make an oil, it has to be a Tashem." So then Manoach persists and he says, "Well, what's your name?" So we want to honor you. And the angel says, "Well, you can't ask my name. It's Peli." Interesting response. Manoach then takes this goat and he brings it as a mincha in front of the angel. And as this happens, as the flame is consuming this meat, this malach dives into the flame and sort of disapparates into the heavens. And they're both extremely terrified. And the malach never reappears. And he says to his wife, "We're going to definitely die after seeing that." She says, "Look, it doesn't make so much sense that Hashem would kill us after going to this great lengths to give us this prophecy, and to also telling us this particular piece of news." So just then, after following this incident, she does conceive. She has a child, and as he grows up, Hashem blesses him. And the last pasuk of the parak is Vatochel Ruach Hashem Lefamo Machane Dan Ben Soro Ben Eshtoal. The spirit of God starts to beat in him like a bell, in, through the Machaneh Dan, through the camp of Dan, which is the tribe is from. A lot of things to think about in this parak, really, like a lot of strange things over here. Number one is there seems to be this dramatic irony because, you know, the prime player, the protagonist of this particular parak is clearly Ashes Manoach, the wife of Manoach, but she's the one who doesn't have the name. It's interesting, she's the character running everything, but he is the he's the subsidiary, but he is the one who has the name. There's almost like a satirical twist over here about who's wielding the power. We have to think about it to ourselves, why is it that she wields the power? Why does is he not in this particular case over here? So there's a few things which give us a pause. First of all, when she comes back to tell him what it is the angel said, there were four things the angel told her. She only tells him two. Now she is told four things. Number one and two are that in pregnancy, don't drink alcohol, don't eat, imbibe anything which is impure. But after he's born, don't shave his hair. And also he's going to be the savior of Israel. She leaves out those last two details. Why does she leave out these last two details? So, fascinatingly enough, Nili Samet has an interesting shiur on this, and she argues that what's going on over here is that she's trying to protect her husband. She realizes that he's being belittled by not having the nevuah himself, and so she tries to give him only information which relates to her pregnancy, because drinking alcoholic beverages and the pregnancy and the tumah are related to specifically to the things, the precautions she needs to take, which would make it seem to her, to the husband, well, then at least that's why I wasn't the one who received the nevuah. It wasn't at least a conjoined nevuah, so to protect him from that embarrassment. But he persists. He says, well, what's going to be with the child? Because those are the details that she left out. So as he persists and he finds this angel, he sends a barrage of questions at this angel. It's interesting. She specifically says, I didn't ask his name. I didn't ask where he's from. But he's asked, where are you from? You know, what's your name? Well, what can we do for you? It's interesting that he gives less space in listening than she does, which might be the reason why she was chosen. She is willing to sort of absorb, to listen, to reflect on the experience, whereas he's already judging and asking and prescribing and defining. Which is a very different experience in terms of the way they relate to this angel. It is interesting that the angel gives his name, which means Peli. Peli might it does actually mean the word hidden. And so it could be that she's what it means to say is the angel saying, yeah, well, it's hidden, you can't understand who I am. But the other Mefarshim who say, let's say the Malbim, says that the word Peli comes to the word Ish ki yafli lindor neder nazir la Hashem. That when a person makes the neder of Nazirus, it's in the words of Pelia, articulation. So maybe the angel's description is articulation. The Arizal says that actually the fact that this was miraculous, that she, who is a barren woman, had the physical capability of having a child, is a pele, is a miracle. So that's also meaning his service, the service of this angel was related to his actual mission. When we go towards the end of the parak, it's interesting that we're told that as this child grows up, as this Shimshon grows up, his spirit starts to, you know, clang in him like a bell. What does it mean? Vatachel ruach Hashem lefamo, that his spirit is ringing in front of him. So some of the Farshim take the positive attitude, like the Radak and the Ralbag, is that, you know, that would strengthen him, it would ring in front of him like this nevuah, and he would sometimes attack, sometimes desist from attacking, as we're going to see. Rashi says it might be negative. It's that Hashem wasn't consistently with him, like the other Shoftim we're going to see. It's really sort of inconsistently with him, and that's why we're going to see he's going to swing backwards and forwards in many ways. I just want to close the question and put it out to the audience just to think about it and ponder it. Is that regularly a Nazir has three restrictions? A Nazir cannot come in contact with the dead, cannot shave hair, and cannot drink wine. Those are the three restrictions. Shimshon's different. This boy over here has restrictions, first of all, from the womb. Number one, but also the restrictions are only on alcoholic beverages and shaving. It is not on coming into contact with dead, which actually is really relevant because Shimshon himself is going to come into contact and create many dead himself. So it's interesting, what kind of Nazir is he? How does he differ and why is that important? We'll hold it here and Emetz Hashem continue tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.